All right. Scott King, comedian, Laugh Factory Chicago tonight, 7 p.m., right, Scott? 7?
7:30.
Well, get there at 7.
Yeah.
What's wrong
with
7?
Get there early if you want.
Yeah,
get there. Order yourself a pizza.
What kind of pizza? I hear they got, like, Geno's or something there, right?
Yeah, man. Geno's East Food. It's amazing. I hope I haven't put on too much weight so far. I've had, like, 5 pizzas already.
So
give you a little personal pizza. It's amazing.
So you're saying a little better than the Zany's frozen jewel pizza.
Or the Wrigley Field Connie's.
Yeah, the Wrigley Field Connie's.
Oh.
Yeah.
How could you do that?
Yeah, Connie's is terrible, especially at the United Center, too.
Oh. And is it even at the United Center anymore, Scott? Isn't it like Rica Benny's now or something?
You know what? I want to say it's still Connie's.
Oh.
I go to a lot of Hawks games. I believe it's still Connie's.
I know they switched it at one point. And it was even worse. And I asked him, I told him, you might as well go back to Connie's. So maybe they did. They listened to me.
Not great.
Jerry Reinsdorf, he listens to me. I am the guy you want to go to if you want Jerry to listen.
Yeah.
He listens to the show, right?
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He'll change it tomorrow.
Anyone over 5'6" listens to this show, I promise you.
Okay, good.
Midget radio. Okay, Scott.
And anyone under 5'4", in between, they don't like
yes.
it.
Scott, we had Tom Dreesen on the other day. He is a part investor into the Laugh Factory in Chicago.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Explain to me what's going on with the new joint and why we need to be coming out, and give me the whole rundown.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I haven't been able to meet the legendary Tom Dreesen yet. He was here for setting the club up a lot, making sure everything was going to run smoothly, and he's been all over, like he usually is, doing shows and what have you. I'm sure I'll see him soon.
You haven't met him because he's purposely coming when you're not there. He's like, is
exactly.
Scott King going to be there? I'm out.
Yeah, he hasn't met me, but I heard he hates me.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. So we're on that page. So what's going on there? What can we look forward to at the Laugh Factory?
You know, it's just like, it's going to be a lot like the Laugh Factory Hollywood, where they're going to get a lot of the big headliners out here. But the man who runs it, the owner, Jamie Masada, is a great guy. He's given me really good opportunities already to get a lot of local comics in here. Like, I'm doing shows every Monday and Wednesday, probably throughout the year. And the promotion's $5 for 5 comics. You get to see 5 of Chicago's best comedians, because I've been doing stand-up here for 5 years. So I kind of know who hustles and who works hard. But it's been interesting to kind of be on the booking side more. I've been looking at a lot of clips and trying to give people a chance. So lining up some shows. And I actually have Chicago comics all through the weekend, too. And I was just told I'm going to do it next weekend, where we have 10 comics.
Well, that's
so
good.
It's turned into like a nice little club where there's regulars and, you know, it's awesome.
And Russell Peters opened it last week. You guys were packed.
Yeah, it was huge. Yeah.
I like to tell Lee, and out here in L.A., I like to tell Lee, Scott King runs the underground comedy scene back home.
Please tell everyone.
You're the guy everyone goes to.
Okay.
I've noticed that, though. I've noticed
I'm like Matt Damon in Rounders, but for comedy. Basically, it.
That's good. I hope that makes me Malkovich, because I really like Oreos.
Yeah, the way you eat Oreos.
Yeah, you're KGB.
Yeah.
I know your tells with the Oreos. I got you beat.
Yeah.
who's on the bill tonight, Scott?
Tonight we have a couple guys from the South Side who I kind of came up with and really like a lot. Pablo Fran. No, I almost said Pablo Francisco. That'd be nice, right?
Yeah, he's
stopping by.
Yeah.
No, Pablo Rodriguez, my buddy, and Pat Chase, two guys are hilarious. They were running shows out of Forest Park. And I got Jay Washington, another Southside guy, and Ken Gar. Those are really funny guys. We all kind of started together.
Pablo Rodriguez, he's of German descent.
Yeah, Irish, actually.
Just a bunch of white guys at this club.
His birth city, I'm going to say Haifa, Israel.
By the way, do me a favor. Love Jay Washington, but tell him to calm down on the Facebook.
You should see his Twitter. It's 1,000 times worse.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I know the guy likes promoting, and God bless, you got to do it when you're on the hustle. But, man, you need to calm down.
Oh, you know, it's a black dude thing. You know how black dudes are with social media.
Yeah.
It's how they are in regular life, too. Like, I had this guy coming to open mic yesterday. He emailed me. He's like, I'm going to show you all how it's done. I'm all right. Looking forward to it.
I love when Jay posts something really, really urban, and I don't know what he's talking about. Like, he'll be talking about a movie that, you know, like, no one has ever seen outside of the South Side of Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
I bet he has like all these Steven Seagal movies on his shelf, and then maybe like Avatar. That's how they roll.
Jay?
Yeah, yeah.
He watches Seagal every time before he does stand up.
Yeah,
he does. Get pumped.
He gets really pumped up and yells at himself in the mirror.
Yeah,
and then he goes home and watches Brown Sugar to come down.
Right. He makes everyone call him Rinpoche, just like Steven does.
And then he roundhouse kicks his lamp after the night.
All right, I would pay $5 just to see a Jay Washington roundhouse kick.
He's a big dude. Yeah,
I know. If he can get that foot off the ground into a roundhouse,
it'd be like a quarter of a house. It'd be like one small pivot and Eddie trip.
Oh, that's
terrible. I love Jay. What am I saying?
Hey, by the way, Scott, how are my Blackhawks doing? Not so hot, huh?
Not so hot. You got your star, Jonathan Toews, is hurt. It's been very painful to watch. They just traded my favorite hockey player in the world, John Scott. They just traded him to New York.
That's your guy. You got pictures of him all over your Facebook. I thought you guys were
going out. Oh, I know. He's my favorite. I got to meet him a couple times. He's the biggest, baddest dude in the league. No one will even fight him half the time.
Where'd they trade him?
And they just traded him.
Where'd they trade him to?
What's that?
Where'd they trade him to?
Oh, New York. He's on the Rangers now. I think New York got him to so they can fight, you know, Boston's tough guys, because Boston has a lot of tough guys.
Yeah. Did we get anyone back in that deal?
No, it was crappy. They got a fifth-round pick, man. You gave up your toughest guy for a fifth-round draft pick. It was humiliating. He was a guy like the team liked a lot, too, and he kept everyone kind of cool in the locker room. So it was pretty crappy, I think.
Is this like a Stan Bowman thing?
Yeah.
He's just not bringing in.
My mom's saying good luck tonight.
Oh, hey, Mom. Good luck.
Hi, Mom.
Good luck, Scott.
Reminds me of the old days of the show.
Yeah. Yeah,
my Matthew Aaron, hi. Oh. Love his show.
Scott, don't worry. My mom calls in all the time, so it's nothing new.
Really? That's good, man. That's like some Stern stuff. You got to have the parents call in.
Yeah.
Your intern.
Here's the difference.
He's got a point there, Matt.
Howard calls his mother. My mother calls in.
Right.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah, but
I see the number come up on the board.
Yeah, but you take the call.
You don't screen the calls.
Well, yeah, I screen them, but who doesn't take their mother's phone call? What kind of evil human being would I be?
I bet she's a character. She'd be great.
Most people don't take their mother's phone call, though.
Yeah,
you do know
that. She's very old and Italian.
You and I do, because we
have... Yeah, I got to be ready. I got to be, like, not doing anything. I can't have, like, anything on my to-do list to talk to my parents.
So, okay, here's what I was going to ask you, Scott. We got the directors of The Silent House coming on. Any good movies that you want to see or anything? Anything coming out?
That I'm going to see?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, I just watched Goon on Demand. That was great.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's like kind of compare it to like a present-day slap shot. Sean William Scott's really good in it. It's really funny. It's well-written, and there's a lot of great lines.
It didn't get a theatrical release?
It is soon, I believe next month. For some reason, they released it on demand first. I'm sure it did really well. I know a lot of people that ordered it right away.
Yeah, that's really weird. That's really weird.
It's interesting. It's kind of like an experiment, I think.
Well, you know what, though? I thought for sure that would be a hit in the theaters. I don't know why they just wouldn't go to the theaters with it.
Yeah, I don't know if people are going to see it after they saw it on demand already, too. It's way easier just ordering your house.
Yeah, why would you see it again?
Yeah,
that's
right, right.
I wanted to see Goon. I wanted to see that because that's Jay, whatever his name is, too, right?
Jay Washington.
Jay Baruchel. And, yeah, and Jay Washington in Goon, of course.
Jay Washington has a cameo.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the guy in the theater that won't shut up.
he plays an AHL coach.
Jay is like the guy at the slumber party who doesn't go to sleep. You can't get him to go to sleep.
Do you think Jay tweets during, like, movies, like, everything going on?
Or how he's reacting to everything.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know what I want to do? Every time I'm in a show with Jay or do an open mic at Riddles or something, and he brings me
that
up.
Guy. What?
or he's bringing me off. I always want to go CeeLo Green. Everybody, let him hear you, CeeLo.
He has the exact same
head shape and body shape as CeeLo Green.
Oh, CeeLo's not that fat. Terrible.
It's really turned into a Jay Washington roast. He's not going to show up today.
I know.
Any place Jay needs to go to promote himself, he'll be there. Trust me. Jay can fly out to L.A. and see me.
That's what you got
to
do.
He used to be a pro wrestler, too. He's going to throw me through a table tonight.
Him and Willie the Bomb Richardson.
So I'll tell you something, Scott. A lot of these open mics here, they charge you. And that's something that they do in New York.
Oh, that's terrible.
I knew that.
People show to hell when they do that.
I know. You know, And it's not only they give you an option. It's $5 for 5 minutes, but you can do $10 for 10 minutes.
Oh well, in that case.
Yeah. gosh.
They should at least give you ten minutes for $8, like a deal.
Yeah, they give you a deal. Yeah. I mean,
they should just say they hate comedians and comedy and not have comedy at their shitty bar.
And it's so weird.
Can I say the S word?
People in...
Yeah, you
can fucking say
okay,
it.
Okay, thank God.
We don't want to have that. But anyway...
We don't want to have that.
I keep screwing up. I really...
By the way, Sean Young wanted to let people know on Facebook, she did not have to post bail when she got arrested at the Oscars the other night. And
she got arrested at the Oscars?
Yes. And I follow...
What'd she do?
Her and I are buddies on the Facebook. She claims she didn't do anything, but security took her out. Now, knowing Sean Young, she did something. But she claims she didn't have post bail, and today she saw the surveillance tape, and it clearly backs up her claim that she was manhandled. Her career will be fine. There is a time when you simply have to defend yourself, and this was one of those times. My grace and dignity are not on trial here. The Academy
yes,
and the people,
are.
The Academy and the people are on trial.
Oh, that's great.
Dude,
is that what she calls me, manhandled now, knocking off a liquor store? manhandled.
Sean Young and the people versus the state of California.
I know, I love it. I love it. That's a Capra movie waiting to happen.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie.
Well, Scott, I was talking to you earlier. I want you to call in once a week and do this with us.
I love to, guys. It's great to be on the show after you've had so many great people on, like Dreesen, Sam Simon.
Yeah. We haven't had Carrot Top yet, but I'm working.
You got to.
I'm working on the
No, man. Yahoo Serious all the way.
Yep. Yakov Smirnoff.
There you go.
So,
nice.
Yeah, Scott, once a week, call on in. Let's do this.
I will, guys. Thank you. Make sure everyone in Chicago check out the Laugh Factory. There's a lot going on here, laughfactory.com, and click on the Chicago Club. Hope to see you out here.
Yes.
Okay, and then you tell everyone, listen to the Adam Carolla show.
Yeah.
I will. I'll promote him heavily because he needs it.
And be happy you're not paying at those open mics.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
I would be so mad.
And we're about to have on Chris Kentis and Laura Lau. And I hope I got those names correct. Laura Lau, L-A-U.
Yeah.
Lau?
You give her my best. She owes me about $10.
Oh, I'm going to let her know.
For an open mic. What you did in my apartment.
Did you do $10 at Laura's? I was going to say at her house. Did you do 10 minutes?
Yeah.
You did 10. Oh, where
That's
is this going?
All right, Scott, I'll talk
gotta,
to you
gotta
later.
Gotta pay the
buddy.
Rent. All right, thanks,
yeah.
guys.
All
I'll
right.
talk to you soon.
Yeah,
all
thank
right,
you.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Later.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Silent House real quick. And
what? Your mom's calling?
Ann Lopez is mad at me because of my Elizabeth Olsen comment.
You know, I'm telling you, that Facebook is going to get you into trouble. It's going to get you into trouble.
By the way, I meant my comment in the best way possible. It was a very best way possible. I did may have said Elizabeth Olsen, best boobs in the biz.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
But
I think that's a compliment.
I don't know, though.
No?
Selma Hayek is still in movies.
Oh, okay.
As long as she's still in movies, you're not...
Hey, you don't know who's friends with Selma Hayek. Stop it.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I may get yelled at on Facebook about that.
What, that I think she looks nice?
Ann Lopez, I apologize. I have nothing but respect for Elizabeth Olsen, and that is why I said that.
Okay.
I really respect her.
Okay.
Talent. Okay, any Hoosers.
Okay. Silent House is...
So let's talk about Silent House. Silent House... is a 88-minute movie shot in real time starring Elizabeth Olsen. It's a little bit of a horror movie, I suppose. It does deal with issues, though. It's not... Go ahead. You explained it well in the car.
It's kind of a horror movie crossed with a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
The likes of some of the early Roman Polanski stuff like Repulsion and The Tenant, and more recently The Machinist. That's a movie that I came to mind.
Yeah.
In this, it stays on the central character. If you saw Rope, where it's supposedly in one take, which it wasn't.
No, Rope was shot in 10-minute span.
Right.
Yeah.
going through and all that. And it deals with, I'll tell you, it's composed out of a lot of things that are very basic fears, like, you know, dark corners and being trapped in a scary house and all that stuff. And it's actually turns out to be deeper than that. It's like, I think pretty good because you're not, you don't have a gimmick or a crazy, you know, gimmicky serial killer and stuff like that. So I appreciated that about the movie. I'm not going to be here for the interview because we only have three mics, but...
Yes. Is that a shot at my budget?
No.
Are you taking shots at the budget?
No. Today is shot-taking day, by the way.
So I thought the movie was really interesting for the way it was shot. It's got to be a low budget film, but it's done in a very mainstream film.
Yes,
like it's a film where if you like Paranormal Activity or what's the other one that was really popular with the sound footage? I don't know, but those kind of movies are you'll like this.
Devil Inside? Did they do that?
Oh, that was bad though.
Yeah.
But if you like modern day horror, you'll really like this movie probably.
Yeah,
I would assume.
And horror really, I mean, I'm very. I have issues with it, and they make probably one or two really good horror movies a year.
Yeah,
and that's
it's hard.
It's very hard to make a good one. It's very hard to be good in one.
Well, Elizabeth Olsen's fantastic.
She is very good in it. I thought she was very effective.
Maria Menounos, what did you think of Elizabeth Olsen? Oh, come on. That's not right.
Yeah.
That's awful. We're never having Maria on the show again. She got cast on Dancing with the Stars.
Uh-huh.
So obviously I'm probably going to be watching now with Bruce Spratt to see if she laughs.
They should dance to a remix of that, of her laugh, like remix it into what they're playing. I think that would be a really, I think that would blow the judges' heads off.
Yeah, they should. Yeah. They should just do they should just do her laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. By the way, how much you love Sean Young?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't want to be totally a dick and read
tell you
all
something.
Her stuff, but it's just...
Given my recent issues with the law, I'm on Sean's side.
Yeah, but this wasn't the law. This was security.
Okay.
This is a little different. I have a feeling
same thing, the man.
She may or may not. She has a record, though.
Yeah, she does.
She has a reputation.
Oh, I know she's...
And I just feel like she may have been causing a little trouble at that Academy Awards.
Well, someone needs to.
Yes, someone. Ann Lopez forgives me, by the way.
Okay.
She says, okay, I forgive you.
Oh, what
it's
a sweetheart.
Good. It's all good. It is all good.
That woman is a peach.
I love Ann Lopez.
Yes.
She is my favorite ever. I love her. I never want to disrespect my aunt. So are we ready for Chris and Laura? Are they doing something?
I think they're in the green room
good. Here at Coney.
Yeah, they're in the green, yeah.
4 minutes? Okay, four minutes.
Okay.
Lee, do you have anything?
Yeah, I was...
By the way, we saw The Raid last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I will break the embargo because I don't care. It's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
The Raid was fantastic.
I think I wrote on Facebook that it's the movie that... Your girlfriend takes you to see something like This Means War because you took her to that.
Yeah,
it's very much a guy movie.
It's like action. It's nonstop action. Nonstop.
Yeah.
Nonstop action. It's got enough of a story where you're satisfied.
It's very well made.
Yeah, it's very well made.
I can't
believe the director was white.
It's got everything. It's got just about everything.
What's everything? There were no boobies in
it. None necessary,
not
though.
Not everything.
It's got gunfights.
Everything, though, without boobies.
Fighting.
You
kniving. I've never seen more stabbings in a movie, like quick, sharp stabbing.
Oh, so great.
There's a scene where guys are having a fight. Well, I'm not going to. That's
steel,
a different show.
Steel chair action, meth lab action,
yeah.
Hallway, thin hallway, old boy style action.
A little parkour.
Yeah. Yeah, really good movie, The Raid. It comes out March 24th.
Yeah.
You have to check that out. But this Friday is Silent House, which is I predict is going to be a pretty big hit. I mean, it's pretty much counter-programmed against Lorax.
Well, movies, there's one or two sort of internationally released martial arts movies that come out, and they don't always get the widest release, but every time I go to one, it's at the Music Box or the Landmark. They're fairly well attended. You know,
yeah.
They were for Ip Man. Hey,
oh.
Hang on a minute.
Hi there, how are you? Yeah, I'm on the air. Yeah, I don't want to make a deal out of it.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Have a good day, sir.
Okay.
Okay, that was nice.
Yeah, I'm just not going to even mention what just happened.
How do we explain what just happened on the show?
Casey was saying goodbye.
Casey said goodbye.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Okay,
what a smile.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Silent House.
Okay.
Elizabeth Olsen, by the way, she is like the current It Girl, and she's really good in this movie.
And you and I both missed Martha Marcy May Marlene, too.
I know.
I feel
really
bad.
How did we miss that?
You know what? I was doing
a
lot.
Mid-move.
I couldn't get to it.
Mid-move,
yeah. It came out. It's on video now, though, I think.
Is it on video?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't have a video player. We don't have VHS.
You know what I mean.
Oh, okay.
Home video.
Oh, home VHS.
Yeah, that's a video.
We don't have VHS.
Yeah, but that's a video.
We have Laserdisc.
Yeah, but DVD, yeah.
Flip them over halfway through.
Betamax.
Dances with Wolves with like four flips.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, but I'm looking forward to talking about this because I also want to talk about low-budget filmmaking. You may also remember Chris Kansas and Laura Lau. They did a film called Open Water. And they also did Grind.
Anytime.
And they also did Grind. But Open Water was a film that was shot for $150,000.
Uh-huh.
And I think made $5.5 billion.
Yeah.
Dollars.
Yeah. It, million?
$5.5 billion.
Billion
dollars. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was billion.
No.
Oh, give or take a few billion.
$5.5 billion?
No, it was probably more like probably $100 million.
Don't ever do that to me again. Don't ever make me look like an
you
idiot.
You almost believed it. You're like $5.5 billion?
I know.
More Listen, than Avatar?
Matt, I'll be the one on this show that makes me look like an idiot, okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Noel, you do a good job.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
True. That's
all right,
true.
All right. But $5.5 billion, I can't believe that.
I'm very excited about this. I know. Chris Kentis and Laura Lau, right? Lau, did I get it right? Man, I know it. Chris, how you doing?
No, this is kind of good. We have a barrier so I can go on and on.
How you guys
good,
doing?
Man.
We're good, man. Yeah, if you want to hear yourself, I mean, I don't know how much you want to listen to yourself.
Yeah, no,
I do. I love it. Okay, I saw Silent House.
You did.
Okay.
Good time. Okay, there's a lot I want to talk about, though. First of all, what is the budget on this film? I got to know.
Ask the producer over there. Ask one of the producers
okay.
over there.
I can't tell you, but it's low.
It's low.
Very
okay.
Low.
But not micro, low.
Well, there were no trailers, I'll tell you that. There were no... It was gorilla low.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Gorilla
for,
low.
For gorilla low, like your last movie, Open Water.
But
Open
Water was...
Open Water.
I think gorilla low was several steps up from our budget on Open Water.
I mean, Open Water, we had no crew on Open Water.
And that movie made $5 billion, right?
I wish. But it made a whole lot more than we ever thought it would when we started. So okay.
I got to tell you, here's the great thing about Silent House, though. You're saying it's low budget. It looks like a big budget movie. It really
That's
does have a great feel to it.
Thank you. That's because we didn't shoot this one.
Well, you know, your DP, that's an interesting thing you bring up. Your DP did a lot of documentaries, a lot of great documentaries. Do you want to talk about that a little, the look of the film and how you got involved? Pronounce your DP's name for me, though.
Igor Martinovich, and he is really...
Igor Martinovich.
He's great. I'm so glad you bring him up, actually, because, because he was such a key part, as you can imagine, of this film in particular. And we've been wanting to work with him forever on a bunch of various projects that just kept falling through. And we love the way we love his ability to light and the look. He's a real artist, but at the same time, as you said, he has this fantastic documentary background.
Yeah, he does. He has a great documentary background. And, what I thought was really great about this movie was you guys did this, it was a little bit like Rope, I guess, right? The Alfred Hitchcock movie with the continuous shooting. How many cuts are really in this movie, if you could say? Or is it going to be a secret?
No, we're not going to say, and in truth, partly because pathetic as it sounds, the truth is I really don't know how many, not nearly as many, there's not many at all, but it's not one continuous shot, because we really wanted to take advantage and make the very most we could of.
Yeah.
It is very much like Rope in the sense that it is one continuous shot that was done in long shots. So it's exactly like Rope.
So as an actor and as a director, you need to know, like, this whole 88 minutes of the film then, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, in a row, like, it's like almost like a play.
It's almost like a theater presentation.
Very much so.
And actually, we already had to know that in the script, which is why the script was really short. The script was like 60 pages.
Wow. Wow.
That kind of freaked a lot of people because, you know, the usual script is twice that length for a feature.
Yeah.
But because of the unique nature of this picture, it came out short. So just to kind of cover our asses, because we weren't even sure, Laura and I went out to the location the second the script was done, and she acted out the whole movie playing Sarah, and I followed behind with a camera, and we did this over and over and over again to really start understanding how to choreograph this picture and make sure it timed out.
Yeah, because in most movies, you know, you go in and you shoot coverage, right? You shoot your long shots and your medium shots, and you shoot your wide shots, and then you go in the cutting room, you cut it together, and that's how you determine what your pacing is going to be. You determine what you're,
right.
You're going to cut to a close-up now. You're going to put an insert in there. And we had to figure all of those things out ahead of time. All those decisions had to be made before we shot.
It blows my mind because, you know, I write, and when I write a script, I sometimes imagine how it could possibly be directed. And when you write a 60-page script, and it's an 88-minute movie, and it's in real time, which is a great concept, was that your concept first? Did you know you were going to shoot it like that when you were writing when the script was made?
That was the key to the picture. We were brought on to do this. This is a remake of a film, an Uruguayan film, that was a single take. And when the people who owned the remake rights contacted us because they were fans of Open Water and they wanted to know if we're interested, and we're like, well, what, you know, a horror movie, and then they said it's a single take, and we're like, oh, I put the hooks in right there. It's like, wow, what a challenge.
How do you guys... Okay, I got so many questions about this. How do you guys, when you're pitching this movie, it's 60 pages, and I know you got Open Water, behind you, and that helps, obviously, gives you guys credibility. But how do you guys, with 60 pages, sell this to people as, like, we're going to make this, don't worry, it'll be a full-length feature, don't worry, we're not going to screw this up.
Well, actually, as Chris was just saying, we were hired by the French company Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
They're really cool. They do, like, really, really great movies. And they had the remake rights. So they actually asked us. All the financing was in place. So it was more a question of, in terms of the script being short, that was a matter of trust. And they made us sign a document saying that we warrant that it will time out. But it was really... the fact that the truth of the matter is that absolutely nobody in this entire production, whether it was a producer or it was an AD or it was a camera operator or anybody in this entire production had never made a film in this way. So nobody knew. I mean, nobody could possibly know. And it wasn't really until we were 3 days into actual shooting that we were absolutely positive that it would time out.
Right.
So we had a pretty good idea because we had been running it and running it and running it. But you don't really know until you actually have your actors.
And do you, like, put that out of your mind so you're not, like, stressed out and stuff? How do you not worry about it?
I just figured we'd have, like, really long, slow-playing credits in the end.
I have to say that I was stressed about it.
I got to be honest with you.
Stressed about it.
When the movie opens and they got the fade in and fade out of the credits, I'm like, yeah, take as much time as you need. Because I don't know, because I'm reading the press notes, and I'm like, 60 pages? I mean, how's this going to turn out? And, man, it turns out, and it's got just a slick pace to it. It's good. Elizabeth Olsen is someone that's really good in this movie. She had to audition for this, I heard. And
yes,
then
that's right.
So first of all, this is before Mae, Marcy, blah, 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 all those names. This is before she did that movie. Okay. How did you know you wanted her? And tell me about the audition process, because I heard it was different than a normal audition.
Well, we had casting directors that we had been wanting to work with, just like Igor, just like our production designer as well, on other projects. And so as soon as the script was done, we gave it to them, and they said, we know who has to play Sarah. You know, and it was Elizabeth Olsen. And they had cast Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone the year before. So we were like, you know, these guys know what they're doing. So we brought her in because there was no tape on her. She had shot Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. But it was in post-production, so there was nothing to see. There was literally no tape on her. So when we did bring her on into the audition, at that point, I don't think we were still working on the script. So we actually, and the truth of the matter is that we didn't use any of the scenes from the script for the audition because we knew what we were looking for.
Yeah.
So we came up with some scenes for her to act out.
Yeah, what's this I hear? She had to look for a key or something in an audition? Is this true? Like, is she just watching her search for the key?
Yeah, you know, we were looking for somebody who could just bring a reality, somebody, you know,
yeah.
we were just looking for, we wanted a really naturalistic performance. And so I remember that one of the scenes was like, we had a box with objects in it, and I wanted her just to go through it and just have like a real casual conversation with somebody. So I can see from an actor's perspective, like, why, what does this have to do with this movie? But we were looking for specific things.
It worked.
What makes the movie, what, another interesting challenge about the movie, it was very purposeful because we were trying to do something a little different in such a well-tread subgenre. Is there's very, very little dialogue, and so much of what connects you to Lizzie in the movie, you know, is her emotional quality, her emotional performance, and her emotional intensity, and the shifts in that, and the subtle shifts and layers in that performance. So it's not dialogue dependent. It's very tricky to keep an audience connected to you when you're not speaking all the time.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I think that's great, and she is. I tell people she. This is a performance like. I've been saying this is a performance like Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween. That's how big of a performance this is. I mean, that made her a big star. And I think Martha Marcy May Marlene. There we go. I got it. I think that showed her acting abilities, but I think that was, of course, on an independent scale. This is a movie that's going to make her a star. I really think so. I think you guys did a great job directing her. I think she did a great job performing. I think this is a really star-making performance.
Well, we that's great to hear. And
she would deserve that. Actually.
Yeah, but it's not this one. I think she's on her way one way or the other. She's clearly a star already. And no.
Yeah, no. I think in the business especially, everyone mm-hmm. knows she's like the it girl. But I think a lot of people who haven't seen her perform because they didn't get to see the independent film she did, they're going to get to see her now, and they're going to really be blown away.
Great.
I really
great.
Think so.
We
I
hope so.
She puts on so many different faces throughout this.
Yeah.
She puts on, like, you know, I've done a lot of theater and stuff. I don't think I could do a performance like this. It's just so all over. Like, there's so many things she has to reach in this performance. She has to be in fear. But she also, her mind is kind of... You know, her mind's got, as you see in the beginning of the movie, she's kind of screwed up a little bit in the head.
Well, you know, theater, in truth, theater is a great analogy because it's the whole idea of like a play, of having to take it from beginning to end for that whole long
yeah.
period of time. But, you know, in hindsight, and I was even speaking to Lizzie about this yesterday, is in so many ways I think it's tougher than theater because we'd have to do these incredibly long takes and she's got to bring it full blown, all the emotion, all the intensity. You know, we're talking sometimes 15, 16, 20, 30 takes. And, she could be spot on perfect, giving like an amazing, freaking great performance, and one guy can miss a light cue, or one prop person can miss a cue, and the take is blown. And unlike in theater, where when that happens, you have no choice as an audience, you
yeah.
just roll with it, you keep going, you find a way. Here, cut, back to square one. That's all in the trash heap. We can't
Jeez.
Fix it in the cutting room. We can't say, well, like in a normal film, we got that part, we can still use it.
Right.
And this was the scary thing and the tricky thing and the challenge about this single take movie for me and Laura is that all the tools that normally a filmmaker has at their disposal, I mean, to me, I came up as an editor. In filmmaking, the production process was really about acquiring all the material and stuff that you need that when you get in the editing room, then you put the movie together.
Yeah.
And now... That's all gone. Like, everything you normally have, as Laura said, to control pacing and tweak a performance, it's all just what Lizzie brings. It's what everyone who's there
right.
on production brings. And that's it. You can't go to cutting room and say, I'll fix it. So it was really critical
that's
that
great.
We had to get it right.
I gotta say, another thing that's great about this movie is the soundtrack, is the atmosphere. In Seven, you could close your eyes and you would know everything that's going on. And I kind of felt like you did with this movie as well. How important was the soundtrack to you guys when doing this movie and the score?
Absolutely critical. I mean, sound, I think, is something that, especially with independent filmmakers on lower budgets, tend to kind of fall down on. So it was something that we were absolutely paying attention to. And, of course, you know, the sound was not only something that needed to provide, you know, the reality of the film, but it was reflecting, because the whole film is shot from one character's point of view, the sound had to also reflect that inner reality of hers as well.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. Are you guys, with the question I did just get was, are you guys going to continue doing lower budget filmmaking, or are you hoping this is a big enough hit where you can actually play around with some big money?
Well, you know what, we kind of delved into those dip the toe into those waters, and we see how tricky it is. And
yeah.
we certainly have some projects that are larger and some are smaller. And, you know, we have a lot of different things we want to pursue, but it is easier for us, in a way, let's just say we're not strangers to working on a low budget. And
yeah.
We're not expecting to have the trailer waiting for us and this and that. It's like we're just kind of filmmakers, and it's all about the right story. And sometimes it's easier to get that little bit less expensive one off the ground than the bigger one because
right.
the reality is the
money. I think when you're doing pictures that are a little bit more unusual, that are different,
yeah.
that it's obviously it's hard to get a movie made no matter what. But the higher your budget, the harder it is to get it made, especially if you want to do something that's different. You have to keep your budget down. And if you can keep your budget down, you can actually make your movie.
I wanted to ask you, what goes on between Grind and Open Water, 6 years? Between Open Water and Silent House, 8 years.
That's the research that guy said he did.
Tell me, what are you guys doing during that period that we don't know about? I know you guys have to be working.
You know, no, sadly, that's the only stat that I have in common with Stanley Kubrick, is it takes... I wish I had all the talent and ability, but we do have that in common. You know, we actually are working like dogs all the time. And between Grind and Open Water, it was a little different.
We had a baby.
Oh, wow.
We had a baby.
That was our biggest production.
And really, Open Water took a couple years to make. And
yeah.
we took our time making it. And we were, in blissful baby.
Well, you guys killed it with Open Water, though.
You know, and it was interesting because then we kind of dove into Hollywood and everyone's, you know, coming at you saying we can make this happen and that happen. We had a lot of passion projects
sure.
In the works during that time. We just kind of found out the realities, especially when you're talking, you know, we had two particularly ambitious, very expensive projects in the works. And when the bigger the money, the more it's at stake and the tougher it is to get that project off the
yeah.
ground. And so, you know, we were happy to kind of, you know, roll up our sleeves and get back to becoming independent filmmakers again on this one.
I think that's great. I wanted to talk about independent filmmaking because it seems like it's not quite what it was in the 90s. You guys are true. This is a true blue independent film. So you guys shot this. You guys got the financing independently, shot it and sold it. Is that how the process worked, or was
not,
it
not
set
on,
up?
Not
or?
On Silent House. On,
okay.
On Open,
on open water,
water,
you did.
On
though,
Open
yeah.
Water, we had no crew, and we literally had no crew.
We financed Open Water ourselves with our own savings.
We shot that film with
credit card.
My sister, who's a lawyer, my mom, and his dad.
Wow.
On this
literally,
one,
that
we,
whole movie, top to bottom.
Wow.
But on this one, it wasn't a fantastic company, Wild Bunch, that came to us.
Yeah.
And they're very independent. And it's because, you know, I think they're a foreign company and they're independent-minded. They're very decisive. You don't have to kind of go through.
Right.
When you get into bigger budget Hollywood films, there's committees involved. Everything becomes a matter
yeah.
of compromise. And so they said, we love you guys. They hired us. And it was a process of working with a very small budget and going to Sundance and selling the film. You know, that's never
yeah.
take getting the Sundance for granted. You never take selling a film
no.
for granted. So, you know, that we've made it to the finish line here and that the film's going to get a wide release, we just feel really
that's awesome.
Excited. It's really exciting.
Let me ask you, like, what is the key for you to making an independent film? I mean, like, in all honesty, did you feel like you got lucky with Elizabeth Olsen? So if Elizabeth Olsen didn't, like, launch before this movie a little bit, what did you have to do with this movie to make it as good as it was?
Well, what's interesting is that the film sold right away pretty fast at Sundance for a pretty large sum before any Mark
right.
Marcy word popped. So
right.
so the you know, Liddell Entertainment that bought it, none of us had a clue that Lizzie was going to become as big as she is, and it's certainly a fantastic. But he purchased the film with the intent of opening it wide from
right.
the get-go, so he very much believed in the film. Who knows what will happen from there? We certainly feel incredibly lucky that Elizabeth's being recognized now, but the fact that she was so great is no secret to us. I mean, we saw it every day.
So what's the key for you when you're putting together an independent film that here's the steps we need to take to make sure this is marketable and maybe a little mainstream?
I think that's always a question an artist has to ask, you know. And when we talk to film students, you know, that you have to. It depends upon what you want to do. If you want to make a really, really crazy movie, like a David Lynch movie, and you don't mind it, you know, maybe playing at the film forum for 1 week, then do it.
And we love David Lynch, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah,
so that's
I mean, we
not
absolutely
a...
love that. So it all depends upon what you're trying to do. But if you're trying to make an independent movie and get it onto a lot of screens, It's not easy.
No.
It's really not easy. And I think there's always, as an independent filmmaker, you know, you're trying to do something different. You're trying to do something unique. You're not just doing what Hollywood's used to. So I think trying to, I think it's part of the craft of trying to understand how to communicate that in a way that you think will be accessible to a wide audience. And I think it's just a question of developing your craft and figuring out what it is that you want to do.
And in a way, just following your passion. You know, our first film, Grind, you know, we had Billy Crudup was his first film, and Amanda Peet, and you know, we had such good buzz going that we were thinking we were going to get into Sundance, and you had kind of stars in your eyes that, you know, you're kind of making this movie because so many other people had success, and this is going to be our movie. And the movie did fine, but it was no great breakout film. Luckily, you know, some critics liked it, some didn't. But with Open Water, we had none of that. Like, we weren't even thinking in that way. It was like, I heard about this story about divers, and it just irked us, and we had an emotional reaction, and we took our time. And the last thing on our mind was that we just made it for, like, the right reasons. I'll never forget when I finished the cut, and I showed it to the actors, and we screened it. I said, you feel that? That's it. That's all we're going to get out of this. This is what we made it for, and we never expected anything else. So you never know. I think success sometimes comes from if you make something with the right intention instead of worrying too much about success.
I agree. For future producers out there listening to the show, because we have a lot of college kids and film students that listen to the show, on an independent film, for Open Water, for instance, or Grind, do you work out a deal where you guys get some back end? You don't have to say how much or whatever, but you get some back end, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think one thing as an independent filmmaker that you do need to think about when you're making your movie is you need to presume that you're going to succeed. I think I've seen a lot of friends where they got into production and everything was on a handshake, and then their movie hit, and then people were not happy because you weren't clear about who was getting what, and you didn't make a good deal for yourself because, you know, you're just a little filmmaker and you never thought your movie was going to be huge. So when somebody said they wanted to take this percent or that percent, you just kind of, you're happy somebody gave you $1.98, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's all about really negotiating really well, and if you're taking off, then to make sure that you get good representation, you have experience, and know what's reasonable to ask.
What's the keys for you guys, because you made Grind, and so you made some connections out here, I'm sure, and stuff. What is the key, then, when you did Open Water to getting the financing? You said you financed it off your savings, mostly yourself, so you didn't get any financing?
Financed it 100% ourselves.
What about Grind, the same way?
Grind was through family money.
Okay. So when the film is complete, do you have people helping you get it into the right hands, or are you just throwing it out there hoping it sticks?
Well, you know, for an independent film, film festivals are really the best venue to get attention. And unless, you know, you're a filmmaker who has agents who are going to, you know, set up screenings for you, and you have some kind of, maybe you were an actor or you were somebody else in the business and you have connections. But if you're just filmmakers like us who are like nobody with no connections, then it's really all about film festivals and hoping that you can get in and you'll get exposure that way.
It's interesting because, you know, for years you hear about independent, like Sundance Film Festival, and I know people sometimes say, well, there's all these stars going there and this and that, and it's fixed and this and that. But when we went there with Open Water, I mean, we're complete unknowns, complete nobodies, you know? And in the film, what was interesting about that film is we knew we had a very hard time getting into festivals prior to that. And as I said to Laura when we made it, I said, all the things, this gets submitted, and they look at the submission form and the tape, and it's got, like, the same two names, a writer, director, producer, cameraman, editor, you know, two unknown names. And they don't, you know, it's like on a VHS tape, and it's like, it's just another piece of crap to put on the heap, and they watch it for 10 minutes, and they throw it on the heap. You know, so it's breaking through that barrier. But once we did, I said, all those things where it's just our names, I said, those things will become assets, you know, and they did.
That's great. I got to tell you, I really love that you guys are making independent films. And then you're making independent films that are getting out there. Open Water, I think, really saved the early 2000s independent film-wise. I got to tell you, I think I don't think studios are very high on them now to begin with, but I think they were even lower on them after the late 90s. And Open Water came along and proved you could still do it. And that made a... They may have a bundle of money, and I think I can tell you guys are really passionate about films, period. And obviously, one of the things that must have driven you to do Open Water was the film Jaws, because I saw a documentary, The Shark Still Working, and that you guys were in. What was that like for you? Was that like a big proud moment to be asked to do that?
Oh, totally. Because I Jaws was obviously one of my favorite movies. It touched me as a kid in a way that, you know, just blew my mind. And so to have in any, like, you know, peripheral way, no matter how distant, have any connection to that is, I mean, it's still a thrill, even though I know it's preposterous, because I think Jaws is one of the greatest films. But if I ever even just see the sentence Jaws mentioned with open water, it's just still thrilling, because it's like, yeah, how silly is that, you know?
Yeah, what a great documentary that was. Did you get to meet anyone from Jaws?
No.
Oh, you didn't get to meet anyone? No, well, Dreyfuss? No, Roy Scheider?
No, didn't get to meet anybody. But it was so cool talking to the guys who produced that picture and them telling me the stories. And you know, and it's so great that they had Roy Scheider, you know, I think, narrated it.
The best.
So sad that he's... That guy was the best, man.
He was the best ever.
I mean, I what do you call it? The Fosse film. All That Jazz.
All That Jazz, 52 Pickup, The Sorcerer.
Yeah.
I love
Of course,
his
The French
movie.
Connection in Seven Ups. And, you know.
Seven Ups, yep. Yeah, he was one of my favorite actors. I grew up watching all his older stuff, because I'm only 28, but I grew up watching all his stuff because it's just the best. He was really special, and Jaws just was great because of him. And Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw.
That was the move. That was what made the movie. You know, anchored in those three characters. Because you look at it now, and the shark looks like a hunk of plastic, whatever. But you don't care, because everything else is so well done, and you're so invested in the character.
You know what's funny is, I think over time, the number one scene in that movie isn't the shark, it's the USS Indianapolis scene.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened over time, is that became the top scene from the movie, which shows how great of a movie it was, because it wasn't just about a shark anymore.
Well, it's interesting, because I was very involved in, you know, I was hired by Warner Brothers. My dream was to make a movie about the USS Indianapolis, and in a way I made Jaws. Oh. I mean, I wish I made Jaws. I wish. In a way, we made Open Water because it was like on a small scale, getting a chance to explore that Indianapolis theme and maybe use it as a calling card. And to a degree, it worked, and we were hired by Warner Brothers to adapt Doug Stanton's book on that. And so I got to know many of the survivors.
Oh.
And it was interesting speaking
awesome.
With Doug, who wrote that great book, Indianapolis
In
Harm's Way.
Yeah.
And he said his first time he ever heard about that disaster was through Jaws. It's the first time I ever heard about that disaster was through Jaws. And so many of the survivors at that period of time when Jaws came out, God, 75, I think.
Yeah.
None of these guys, these World War II vets, were talking about anything like that back then. And suddenly this came out, and they could talk to their family. So it's amazing the impact that movie had. And I think it's the movie that really brought that story to the surface for people.
Is that film still a possibility for you? And why hasn't a film about the USS Indianapolis been made?
I think because it's an expensive film. At the time we were exploring it, war films were not really taking off at the box office. It's a difficult film. It's all on the water. It's a very tricky film to make logistically. I'm proud that we got as far as we did. I think we probably got further than anybody. I mean, especially some of the big names that were involved trying to get the project off the ground previous to us. But right now, I think that we're not involved with that picture right now.
There's quite a lot of people that want to make that movie, though, that story.
Well, it's such a natural, it's such a great, fantastic, amazing story.
It feels like one you have to tell, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What else do you guys got coming up in the future? Are you just, like, trying to ride this out at the moment?
Well, we actually have two projects. We have a couple of thrillers, and we have one, actually, that we're working on with CBS Films, and we have another original script.
You're going to do one studio film. You're going to do with CBS Films. Is that going to be like a studio project or an independent?
I would still consider that independent.
Yeah, I think they're very independent-minded, and that's what's exciting about them. Both projects, again, we seem to gravitate toward things that are more reality-based kind of things.
Yeah.
That, you know,
like Silent House, which is opening Friday. Silent House has some reality-based stuff in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and again, taking that certain kind of approach. I think we tried to do something a little different with Open Water and something very different with Silent House. And both these new projects are things that I've never seen anything like either of them before. And I think for us, that's what's exciting, is try to find something that's a little bit different. It's so hard to do that today, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. Have you casted the films yet at all, or are they in pre-production?
No,
we're in the writing process. Yeah.
Writing process of both of them? Are you writing both at the same time? Or?
Actually, we are.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. How do you guys write two things at the same time?
Well, because being two people.
At doing the same. Okay.
Basically, what will happen is, like, I'll write a draft, and he'll write a draft one, and then we'll switch.
Oh, that's a great idea. That works. Yeah, I bet that works. Is that what, now when you guys do like Silent House and when you did Open Water, were you working together though, like writing it together, sitting next to each other, hammering it out?
No, the truth is, it's with Open Water, I kind of was the one who wrote the first one and started out, and then Laura came in on Silent House. She was the sole writer on Silent House, and she took that on, and I came in and gave my input on that. So
that's great. Well, Silent House, you know, this is a good film. I think a lot of people are going to go see it. It's Elizabeth Olsen's really great in it. The director of photography, Igor
Martinovich.
Martinovich, fantastic. He did Man on Wire, and what was the other documentary
The Tillman story.
Yeah, Tillman story. Yes, thank you. That was a great film.
It was powerful movie.
Great film. This is a film that people should go see. It's a great atmosphere. And look, I mean, I think it's for that Paranormal Activity crowd, except more intelligent. I think people are actually going to enjoy, they'll get something more out of this movie.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. And I'm not going to ruin it, but it's got an ending, too, that you just, you're probably not going to see come at night.
Well, listen, thanks so much. This is really cool.
Hi, Chris, great. Laura, thank you so much for doing the show. I really appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck on Silent House. I really do. I think you're going up against the Lorax, so good counter-programming.
No, actually, we're not up against the Lorax.
Oh, no?
We're up against John Carter.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine.
I think we're a little bit different.
When's the Lorax? That's 2 weeks?
That's now.
Oh.
We're the weekend next.
Oh, you're 2 weekends.
March 9th.
See, I already saw it. And I'm just figuring the studio's telling me that it's going to be this Friday, because I get to see everything
Friday,
like 5 minutes before they come out.
Great.
That's how they treat me.
You see now they're going 2 weeks, you know?
I know.
Pretty soon you're going to be a month ahead of schedule.
Oh, stop it, Hollywood. Treat me so well. All right, so March 9th, Silent House. You have to see it. It's in theaters. Going up against John Carter. Whatever. Let me tell you, we're going to talk about John Carter next week, because I have a lot of... That went through a very rough production. You know what? Before I let you go real quick, I did want to ask you one thing. I've been reading a book, Kevin Smith's new book. It's not out yet. They sent me a copy of it. I wanted to talk about it for a minute with you guys, because it's talking about independent filmmaking. And he has a great point, I think, about criticizing film, which is you guys are risking so much. And as artists, we risk so much. Does anyone really have the right to criticize your work?
That's a tricky question.
Well, you know, I think once you make a piece of work and you send it out into the public, and the whole idea is to do that, is it's just not yours anymore. It becomes the viewers. And, you know, I think that people do have a right to criticize if they like something and they don't like something. And I think it's just like anything else. You either hear what they have to say and you say, you know what, I agree, and I learned something from that. That wasn't what I wanted to communicate, and I wasn't successful. You say, you know what, I don't agree with you. You didn't like that. I like it, and I'm sticking with that. So
okay.
I think it's going to be a very productive kind of a feedback system for an artist.
From an audience point of view, I mean, I think audiences, certain people look to certain critics or certain people, whether it's a critic or not a critic, because they're like-minded in their taste, to get feedback to see if it's worth seeing something or not. And, you know, it's fair enough for them to say whether they like it or not. And truthfully, as a filmmaker, it's always, I never know what I'm making. I mean, I don't know. I do my best. I have an intention. I want something to be a certain something, and we make it, but I never really know what it is. And it's funny how almost it's the public opinion that will ultimately decide what that is. You know, I often wonder, I'd say, Laura, if I got clunked on the head, you know, when I saw something, if I'd have a complete, saw my own film, how I would feel about it, you know?
Oh, that's an interesting way to look at it. If you got amnesia and forgot you did it, and then you watched
it. It's like you maybe actually have an objective point of. I remember Lizzie talking about when she sees, saw Silent House and other movies. She sees movies, and it's more like looking at a yearbook of a flip page of just of a memory. Every scene's a memory of that day that you were working. It's hard to watch something in the same. It's impossible to watch something the way an audience watches a film.
I think that's a great way to put it. All right, I know you guys need to get out of here. I really appreciate you guys doing the show. Silent House, May 9th and March 9th. I'm putting you in May. March 9th, Silent House.
Like,
I know.
Now
his head's getting bigger.
Yeah. It's a summer tentpole now. March 9th, Silent House. Elizabeth Olsen gives a terrific performance. There's some legit scares in this. Go see the film. Kentons, Laura Lyle. Thank you so much. And Rent, Open Water, if you haven't seen it. And Grind. But Open Water, I'm telling you, you're going to be blown away that it was done for $150,000, and it's a great story, and it looks great. I'm blown away what you guys did with that. I really am.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys,
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Okay.
Kris Kentos and Laura Lau were fantastic. Go see Silent House on March 9th.
All
anyways, thank you very much, and we will see you guys next week. Yeah. Bye-bye.